Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. KNSS is always here for you. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles now by texting AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show social media pages, Facebook, True Social, and of course, follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show.
Roddy, thank you again. It's so nice to see you again. And in the liberal bastion, I went to KU, by the way. So this is the UC Berkeley of the Midwest. So I'm warning you. I hope you're ready for it.
I had no idea, right? I think you have in your mind that these conservative states, right? I know you guys have a liberal governor, but these conservative states, for the most part, are, you know, bastions of freedom. But what I've seen pretty much across the board, especially these academic institutions, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't even matter if you're on a Christian campus, like a smaller private school. It doesn't matter if you're at Cal Berkeley. It's all the same. They've been totally infiltrated by activists.
Oh, absolutely. And KU, I know from my own time here, KU is without a doubt one of the most liberal you're going to find. So hopefully the crowd is happy tonight. I know the folks out front that I talked to earlier were not too happy to have you here, but I'm happy to have you here. So speaking of college campuses, I do want to ask you, I just saw earlier this week, you went back to the University of San Francisco where you had that lovely warm reception a while ago. How was the reception this time around?
Well, as you could probably imagine, of course, the protest, the people who, I mean, want to throw me off a bridge, they still exist. And they're rearing their head, right? Like, I think most people are under the impression, maybe believe, that with Donald Trump back in office, all of this is over. These protesters are relentless. The people on the other side. And when I say the other side, I don't even really mean that in a political partisan way. I mean the other side of common sense, right? Mm-hmm. But that being said, the support was tenfold in comparison to 2 years ago. And I think that speaks to the shift that we have seen amongst the general public. How people are just more bold and more willing to put their face to something like this. Because again, 2 years ago, people wouldn't show up because they were scared to be associated with even being there, with even asking questions, with being curious, with wanting to learn about what was happening. It was, you know, effectively suicide for them in terms of their social circles and you know, their academic opportunities, whatever it is, career opportunities. They were terrified of being there. That wasn't the case this time.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I think you're right. I think people are finally, not only are they waking up to the resistance, but they're waking up to letting their voices be heard, and they're willing to step out and say, no, this is wrong. And you're seeing it more and more. I noticed you're starting to use the hashtag boycott, and we're seeing it more and more. I mean, we saw the disc golfer who stepped away, you know, the fencer who actually wouldn't compete. We're finally starting to see more and more of these courageous women who are saying, no, I'm not going to compete against a biological male. We're going to have to see more of that, aren't we, sadly?
Sadly, I believe so. This movement that I've dubbed as, boycott, with emphasis, of course, on the word boy there. It's just the most effective way to say no. Enough is enough. I'm not even going to allow you to discriminate against me on the basis of my sex. I think it's what we need to see. We've seen it in volleyball, right? You think of the Mountain West Conference, those five teams.
Right.
Boise State, University of Wyoming, Utah State, Southern Utah, and University of Nevada at Reno all weren't willing to play against San Jose State University. We saw the West Virginia girls, right? These were middle schoolers who in track and field, actually in shot put, a boy is about to throw with them, and these girls, they get up in the circle and they act like they're going to throw, and then they walk out. We saw Stephanie Turner, the fencer. We've seen Abby Wilson, the disc golfer. It's a growing movement, and truthfully, John, I wish I had this courage when I was competing, when I was faced with this issue. I didn't. I really didn't. But of course, I've grown. I've evolved. I'm so much more secure in my stance and understanding. Again, there's nothing to apologize for in standing for reality, standing for women. I didn't realize that at the time. So I think these women are incredibly brave and courageous.
It's sad that they have to do that, though. That's the one thing that every time I see these, I admire them. I'm proud of them. And yet I feel sorry for them that they have to take that stand, because it's unfortunate. I mean, they're giving up their opportunities for scholarships, for advancement, for trophies, for whatever. But they're, at least they're taking a principled stand. It's just sad that they have to do that.
There are so many people who failed them to allow it to get to that point, right? If you're looking at the young girls, again, like the West Virginia girls, their parents, their coaches, the athletic director, the principal. I mean, you could point fingers all day long. When 13, 14-year-old girls have to bear the burden of defending themselves, again, that's a tragic scenario. And it's easier said than done. I see a lot of people on social media who are conservatives, who are on our side on this issue, who are frustrated when girls don't boycott. Look, it is so much easier to say, you know, just step down, just don't compete, than to actually do it. Like, these girls have dedicated their entire lives, in most cases, to be able to compete, to be able to succeed. And again, I know, speaking in you know, and my own personal experience here, that national championships, it was the culmination of my career. It was the pinnacle of our sport. It's the fastest meet in the world. It's not easy to ask a girl to just step down and not compete, although I wish it was. It's not.
Well, and it's not only the principals and leaderships in universities. Look at what happened in Congress recently. The United States Senate, not a single Democrat would step up and vote for a bill that just protected and codified women's sports.
But then they show up the next day. It was the joint address to Congress the next day, which I was watching from the gallery. And the day after 45 U.S. Democratic senators vote no in opposition of protecting women and girls in sports, you have all of them, all of the women at least, in Congress and Senate, show up wearing pink to symbolize how they defend women's rights.
Yes.
Which was remarkable to me. The gaslighting that they are projecting, they are banking on the American people being, number one, uninformed, and number two, too lazy to do their own research. And unfortunately, there are a lot of Americans who fall into that category. But I see right through it. These people don't defend women. They can't even define what a woman is. How can you defend what you can't even define?
That's true.
They hate women, quite frankly.
Speaking of women's sports, I have to ask you about what we're seeing right now overseas, across the pond, so to speak, the Women's Pool Billiards Championship, women's, and the two competitors are both biological males.
They really took made the best man win to like a whole new level here. I mean,
you'd think this was a Benny Hill skit or something.
Truthfully, it is like the first thought that I had. Honestly, you want to laugh at it. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, why am I laughing at this? Like, real people, real women are being affected. There are real consequences here that women are having to bear. But you laugh because it's like a South Park episode.
Yes.
It's like a Babylon Bee headline. And I just pictured it in my head. You know, both of these men got to the final and were pissed that they were competing against another man. They're like, dang, I thought I was going to have the opportunity to trample on some women here. So, again, it's almost so ironic that it's funny. But again, to remember, like, there are real women who are losing out on prize money. And I've seen people tweet or post or whatever it is saying, you know, even again, people on our side who say, look, well, there's not really a safety concern here. There's no advantages that men possess over women in pool or billiards. Look, so long as there is a woman's category, it should be reserved for women.
Yeah.
If you want to have a separate conversation about making it gender neutral or making it co-ed or mixed sport or whatever, that's a separate discussion. But so long as there's a woman's division, it should be only for women.
It's still an opportunity, be it for scholarships or prize money or a Wheaties box or whatever. It should be. And again, it's a matter of respect. It's a matter of dignity and opportunity. And that's why, you know, you mentioned earlier when we first started about this still being a battle that we have to fight. And I think some people are getting complacent. You know, heaven forbid Kamala Harris won that election, because Lord knows what she would do. But here we've got congressional elections coming up not too long. We'll have a presidential election in 3 years. And that's all it's going to take, is for us to lose ground. We may have won a battle, but the war still rages, right? It won't take anything for us to lose ground, and they'll be right back at it.
Well, number one, if Kamala Harris had won on November 5th, I genuinely, truthfully, from the bottom of my heart, believe we would be in World War III right now. And yeah, to your point, look, they've allowed the reason they've been able to acquire every inch of the public square in the way that they have, including, of course, our government, media, entertainment, Hollywood, corporate America, academia, like the list goes on. I mean, healthcare, it doesn't matter. They've acquired every inch of the public square. The Democrats have. It's because they have laid the groundwork over decades.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are under the assumption that, you know, over the past 5 years, they've really been able to succeed with all this. It's been going on so much longer than 5 years. It's been decades they've laid this groundwork. That's why it's the same groundwork that allowed them to carry out the actions and the manipulation that we saw with COVID. It's the same thing with the gender ideology movement. So many parallels in terms of the emotional blackmail, the manipulation, coercing people to, again, ignore what they know to be true, what they know to be reality, in both cases actually biological reality. So while it's great that we're seeing the Trump administration really do a lot of exposing and highlighting the problems, it's really just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, it is so nice to see you again. You know, I love having you on and folks at the center, which I'm just so proud of you. I remember when you were just starting this fight and what you've been able to do. What's next? Are you going to run for office or something? I mean, when am I going to get to see you on a ballot or something? I'm just so proud of what you've been able to do. I notice, again, you're wearing the XX is not equal to XY t-shirts. I know you've got that. What's next on your playbook?
You know, it's such a good question because I feel like I've approached that question, you know, what's next for you, pretty selflessly over the past few years. Because
yes, you got married. Like, that was one.
Getting married, you know, like all of the things. But it's like wherever I need to be, I'm there. But now, again, like I feel like we're in a place where now we at least have the ability to have impact. So it is like I get to kind of look at this now, like, what do I want to do? You mentioned running for office. I don't think I'm that, like, clinically insane yet. I think you do have to be like a level of clinically insane to run for office.
Or a narcissist, and you're not that much of a narcissist.
Totally. God bless the good people who do, because we absolutely need them. But you know, I don't know if that's for me yet. Truthfully, I think the next step for me is family. I think that's where me and my husband go. We've been married for 3 years. Of course, still fighting this fight and the subsequent battles that come with it. My husband and I, we've been dealing with the battle of immigration, given the fact that he's from across the pond. Of course, legal immigration. So have been kind of immersed into that space. The battle of school choice is another one that I feel very passionately about. Being a voice for the unborn, again, another cultural battle that I just feel so passionately about. So, of course, there are still, I mean, I will continue to be an activist. Because truthfully, I think we need more activists on our side. Again, the side of common sense, the side of sanity. So I'll continue doing that, and we'll see where that leads.
Well, I love you. It's so good to see you again, and we'll keep in touch. And maybe the next time you make a swing through the Midwest, we'll have to follow you to that one as well.
I'm there. Thank you. You're the best.
She's such a rock star. It's a great time. I was glad to sit down with her and glad to share that interview with you again. I know I had a number of you who didn't hear it when we played it for you a couple weeks ago, and glad to play that for you again. Sort of our Easter. There's your Easter chocolate. There's your Easter treat for you. We'll take a quick break. What do you think? You're listening to the What Should Riley Do Next? Because I love for her to run for office. Maybe she could run for, I don't know. I was going to say governor of Kansas, but you know, we already got like 13 people doing that. So, but, you know, we do need somebody to run for Sharice Davidson's seat. I would love that. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. My friends at Americans for Prosperity for Kansas believe freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. It's a great way to get involved if you're looking for way to get involved in a campaign or just help inform voters. Great way to do it. Get involved with AFP. They're great folks. Prosperity-minded, conservative, and just a great way to get involved if you're looking for ways to get involved. And, of course, while you're online, check out the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, a True Social page, and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. Those are the best ways to stay involved to get all the latest updates on the show. Let me share an interesting story with a little bit of a tidbit. It's a shocking new poll, and we're going to talk a little bit later in the show, actually. But majority of Americans identifying as left of center politically believe that murdering President Trump would be justified. I'm looking forward. That's our next guest, actually. We're going to talk about this. But, yeah, 1,300 Americans, 38% believe it would be somewhat justified to murder President Trump.
Where's that scene in air? Is that scene in Airplane where everyone does a face palm,
yes,
head smack,
yes,
all at the same time?
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, well, and what prompted me to think of this was, you know, when I was up in Lawrence and talked to some of the protesters outside of the Riley Gaines deal, and you know, you're talking to some of these protesters, and I remember the guy who had the sign that said gays for Palestine, trans gay, and I walked up to him and I asked him, he says, yes, I'm gay, I'm trans, and I support, you know, Palestine. And I said, do you realize that, you know, what your chances of actually, first off, you couldn't protest if you were actually in Palestine.
Right.
And you couldn't, you know, what happens to gay people in Palestine under Hamas? Oh, well, Hamas isn't the government. I'd say, yeah, Hamas is the government. And if they found out you were gay, they'd take you out back and shoot you, pal. He just, you know, these people, some of them just don't get it. So they're just not grounded. And the level of Trump derangement syndrome among these folks is just shocking. And it's like that email that Lily Wu got. Mm-hmm. I hate you. You know, racist language. Love, peace, love, hope, happiness. You know, it's like, what? Love, hope, peace, happiness. Hate, hate, hate. That's, yeah, these protesters, it's just so funny.
So, okay, so I thought that your man on the street segments last week, I thought it were great.
Oh, the ones up in Lawrence. Yeah.
They were,
you know.
And it wasn't confrontational. It was just a matter of getting the back and forth.
Well, I wasn't going to be confrontational, no. But they could have been. But yeah, and I think it helps that I'm not going there, obviously, wearing a MAGA hat. Or anything like that. Or tonight, I've got a hat, by the way, for those who are wondering. I've got a hat tonight that says Trump 2024, the sequel. If I'd worn that, I'd get attacked. But, you know, no, I just wore my logo shirt, my KNSS logo shirt. That way they know I'm legitimate, quote unquote, media, you know, which I don't consider myself media, but, you know, they did.
So do you have any plans for a NASCAR Park?
Yes. As a matter of fact, my buddy, Andy Hoosier.
Okay.
From, you know, the station. From the station across town that sort of like Voldemort, you know, the station that shall not be named. Andy Hoosier, otherwise known as Voldemort. But no, my buddy, Andy Hoosier.
He's gonna appreciate that.
No, he's going to love it. Okay. I'm going to start calling him Voldemort. Andy Voldemort Hoosier and I are going to go down to NASCAR Park this Saturday.
Okay.
So we're going to go down there on Saturday and try and do some men on the street interviews and talk to people and, you know, just see why. Because they've been doing this stuff now for a couple months and they go down there every noon. You know, they do it on Saturdays. I imagine they could probably do it any other day of the week because I'm sure they don't have jobs, but they're going to go down there and, you know, we're just going to ask them why. What are you doing? What are you hoping to do? What's the message? What are you hoping? Because I remember when they were outside of the AFP event with Ron Estes and it was the same crowd. And I went out and talked to them then. I just didn't have a mic, so I couldn't actually record these conversations. But it was the same kind of stuff. I mean, I had a great conversation with one of them then. And he talked about, you know, I'm so glad to be here and there's so much love and there's so much unity and there's some, we're just love around us. And then I asked him about the people who were in with Ron Estes. Oh, they're stupid and we hate, there's hate. And I'm sitting here going, dude, you just talked about love. And then you're, I mean, he was just espousing hateful things and they're fascists, they're Nazis, they're this and that and the other. Love and Nazi. You know, it's TDS.
It's love if you follow their narrative.
It's exactly right. That's exactly right. It's love, peace, tolerance, as long as you agree with them. The minute they find out that you don't agree with them or you don't drink the Kool-Aid or you're not in their little clique, then it's hate. And the love and tolerance and peace and all that stuff goes right out the window. So I know. But that'll be next Saturday. We're going to do that. So we'll play the highlights of that next Sunday. Should be a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be fun. Hopefully, you know, Andy will wear, because Andy's a little more confrontational than I am. Hopefully he'll wear body armor. We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills, and then writer, speaker, and political commentator Teddy Pierce will share the shocking results of that poll that we just discussed, where a majority of Americans identifying as left of center believe murdering President Trump would be justified. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, a shocking new poll has discovered that a majority of Americans identifying as left of center politically believe that murdering President Trump would be justified. The survey was conducted by the Network Contagion Research Institute, which describes itself as a neutral or independent organization. It found a total of 55% of leftists responding to the poll said that the use of deadly violence against their political enemies is acceptable. Your guess is as good as mine on this one, folks. With us now to kind of walk us through this is writer, speaker, and political commentator Teddy Pierce. Teddy, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Hey, great to be on with you. Wish it was under better circumstances.
Yeah.
Dark subject here.
Yeah, it is. Happy Easter, by the way.
He has risen indeed.
Yes. Okay, so I'm looking at these numbers. This is an overall survey of 1,300 Americans. 38% of the respondents said it would be at least somewhat justified. I mean, I know that, is this just Trump derangement syndrome, or do these people actually think that there's a justification to kill somebody that they disagree with?
Oh, well, there's so many things at play here. You know, I guess I'm not telling tales out of school to say that we've gone under a little bit of social decay over the last 50 or 60 years.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, the broader topic or the broader point here is that we're dealing with a cultural divide. We're dealing with a social and cultural divide in the country. And we're getting to this point where really the difference between the political left and the political right, it's not falling along this blue-red corridor like we're so used to. And we're really getting into a true ideological and philosophical divide. We're getting to the fancy philosophical word of a different anthropology, like truly a different way of looking at the human person, who they are in society, and how we decide things, really, just even on the most basic level. That's the divide that we're seeing in this polarity in this modern age. And, unfortunately, it's by design. And there are a lot of mechanisms that have brought us to this point. But to get to the point where you say the person on the other side deserves violence and to make it that pronounced and widespread, well, it takes a very long concerted effort.
Yeah.
To get to this point.
Well, and it's the same thing with these folks that are idolizing, celebrating, whatever word you want to use, the Luigi Mangione, the guy that, that killed the hospital CEO. I mean, or the insurance CEO. It's, you know, there are women out there that want to marry him. There are leftists who are sympathizing with him or saying that he was justified because, you know, our healthcare system. Yeah, our healthcare system may be flawed. It still doesn't justify political violence. It doesn't justify walking up behind a guy and capping him, putting two in his head. You know, it's just, the other thing that I find shocking in all of this is how it's become sort of acceptable for so many people.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. And what we are dealing with in this, what I call, and I don't think, again, that I'm being too bombastic in saying, we're dealing with fifth generation warfare, and we're dealing with a system that has brought in this level of subterfuge in our culture and normalize this type of behavior.
Yeah, normalize, yes. Yeah.
And you know, the point is not to make us stronger. It's not to make us wiser and better to deal with our political decisions. Of course, it's meant for destroying our society. It's meant for, just as we see in Marxism with critical theory, knocking everything down to a mere power struggle. And so that we're at each other's throats and fighting each other on this barbaric level while the people who have orchestrated it all come to claim their prize.
The normalizing political violence, that's a great way of putting it, because that is in many ways what we're seeing here. We're talking with political commentator Teddy Pierce, and I completely agree. That is what they're going for. And the other thing that I think we're seeing, and I'm surprised about it, I'm disappointed, frankly, that we're seeing it, is the fact that so few on the other side of the aisle are condemning it. Where you see that, I mean, they pay lip service to it, but so often Democrats are refusing to disavow it, while mouthpieces like Jimmy Kimmel are actively encouraging it. In some cases, it's, you know, where's the vociferous declarations that this is wrong? Instead, they kind of explain it, or they just don't give it any airtime at all.
Right. Well, yeah, the political actors, and of course, this is all a soundstage, you know, this is all kabuki theater.
Yes.
And so the political actors, they have to make their certain, they have to avoid it at all costs.
Right. They play a little tiny bit of lip service and then move on.
Right. Right. And then, of course, the folks in Hollywood and late night TV get to celebrate it in a very different way. But you know, that really is the signature of this divide of saying, like, it's not a difference between do we have morals or where do we draw the line or anything like that. Especially with the, you know, you clearly laid it out there. It's true relativism. It is true, like, denial of any sense or of a standard or morals or goodness. It's either, you know, now the political divide is clear. You've got to get on board. You either have to just get on your team and cheer for whatever happens, no matter what, or maybe you're, you know, if you have any problem with that, well, we're going to kick you out of the party. Bill Maher included, you know,
right.
I don't have any good things to say about Bill Maher, but that's really what we're dealing with, is this: you are going to get on board with our program or get out.
Do you think this really started to ratchet up? Because I noticed it really started in, you know, the riots back in 2020, the BLM riots, where the left, the mainstream media, of course, it was peaceful protests. It wasn't riots. It was mostly peaceful protests. They weren't really prosecuted. It was all about sympathy. Yeah, I remember the infamous footage of MSNBC commentators standing in front of firing buildings on fire and downplaying it. And then on the flip side, January 6th is the greatest tragedy since World War II, and it's absolutely chaos and violence and murder and mayhem, and the world's coming, you know, cats and dogs. and, you know, tens of thousands of people dead. And I mean, they made it out like it was a Holocaust. But, you know, the BLM riots, nothing, just a minor, nothing happening. It reminded me of Leslie Nielsen from the Naked Gun movies. Nothing to see here, folks. Move along.
I mean, yes.
That's kind of where this, for me, it really where this all started.
Yes, and definitely with the riots in 2020, and, you know, you can pile on a lot of other things that were responsible for that, but you're exactly right that it was just a signature moment of we don't care anymore. We're not even going to try to explain.
Yeah, we're not going to hide it
by ourselves. Yeah, and this is what we're about, and we are willing and ready to burn the country down just to hand the ashes over to our globalist overlords who are driving this whole narrative, you know?
That's a good analogy. Teddy, if folks want to connect with you, if they want to hook up with you on social media, what's the best way for them to find you?
I'm on X at TeddyP1776. DethronedDavos.com is the website, and you can get the book Dethroned Davos on Amazon.
Teddy, I appreciate you, my friend. Again, thank you for joining us, and I hope you had a very happy Easter, my friend.
I did. I hope you did as well.
Yes, I did. Thank you. Thank you. We'll take a quick break, and of course, our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget to check out my friends at AmericansForProsperity.org. It's a great way for you to get involved, make your voice heard today. And, of course, we also want to remind you, listen in for my carry-on commentaries. That's my 60-second daily features. You'll hear those every day, Monday through Friday, three times a day, right here on KNSS. Phil. I was thinking of Dave.
Yeah.
Because that song, that was mm-hmm. side of Dave's song. Yeah. He loved that song. So
we always say, Dave!
That's right. We always play that. That's our out song in the last segment. I don't know if you saw, he's taken over the morning show on KEYN.
Yeah. Congratulations, yes, to Dave. Those are huge shoes to fill, yes, because he's such a consummate professional.
Yeah, I love Dave.
Yeah.
He was, and Dave was, now, I gotta admit, you're pretty good. You're,
oh, well.
Yeah, I will say, since you're here, you're better than Dave. You are better than Dave. But I'm looking forward to hearing. So, kudos to Dave Wilson. Filling in or taking over the morning show on KEYN. I can't remember when that starts, but it's like
it's soon.
Yeah. So very happy for him. And I still, when I saw the email that came out this week, I still emailed him and said, you know, if you don't want to do that, you can always come back on here and sub in with Phil on rare occasion when I don't have him. So, but yeah, kudos to Dave for that. It's really kind of cool. So. But yeah, every time I hear that song, I think of Dave. Dave and I used to, we kind of rap. You know, it was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Sort of like you and I do.
Yeah.
So he, you know, it's fun. Dave's politically savvy, which helps to have the conversation like you are. You know, mm-hmm. you know what you're talking about.
Well, I attempt to anyway, but.
You're too good. No, you're good. I mean, it's like at least you know what you're talking about when you ask questions. You know, you prompt me with good questions. And
well, I will say ever since taking over the producer duties, I will say that you have made me more
annoyed.
Marked? No. Actually, it makes me more aware. I think I find myself tuning in more to different media points, different media discussions, and I want to know more. I want to be knowledgeable. And so it helps me to do this show better with you interact with you. So I think it's made me a better person of understanding how this whole crazy political.
Oh, and it is. Trust me. This was a crazy political week for me.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was on the news. For those of you who don't know, I don't want to get into it. But you know, I think the audience knows that I'm also the chair of the Sedgwick County Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And we had some business that we had to do. And we didn't end up doing it, but we had some business Thursday night. And two of the TV stations and two reporters from the Wichita Eagle were there. And, you know, both the TV networks wanted an interview. And I literally told them, I said, can we do this on the air? Can we do this on radio? Because I have a face for radio. I do not like doing TV. I've lost 30 pounds, but I still have, you know, more weight to lose. And just, I don't like doing TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just not, you know, I got more gray hair than I used to. And
I think we're all.
I just don't like doing TV. Yeah. I like radio. Mm-hmm. I like, you know, I especially like tonight. It's like people ask, how come I don't do the, because like who, like, you know, Andy Voldemort, he does the camera in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And people have asked, hey, how come you don't do a camera? And I said, because I can wear a ball cap, not shave, come in a t-shirt, and I don't have to, you know, if I had a camera in here, I'd have to actually dress the part.
Is Andy dapper? I'll admit, I have not.
I wouldn't call him dapper. Have you seen his hair? I mean, he's got, oh boy, he's going to kill me for this. He's got this, well, you know, I mean, I call it a rat tail, but he's got this, you know, this mm-hmm. ponytail thing going down. That's, I mean, it's cool. It's, you know, Viking kind of looking thing.
I
couldn't pull it off, but he pulls it off.
I think camera in the studio, I think it works for some shows. I know, over on our sister station, KFH, yeah. I know they do, cameras in the studio.
I can't imagine Steve McIntosh wanting a camera in the studio.
Well, I don't know. That might be okay.
I would do it if I, you know, if they wanted to put it in here, I'd be happy putting it in here, but I don't think the morning show guys would probably want it, but.
Well,
you know, heck, if they put it in here, I'd be happy. Well, I'd just have to, you know, shave. Because it's Sunday night. I mean, we get up and go to church. And then, you know, other than that, I don't want to have mm-hmm. to shave again. I'd have to dress up and not wear a hat.
I mean, I go to church on Sundays. So that would mean that no longer can I change after church. I probably ought to stay.
Right. See, I'm the same way. After church, I can come home, throw on a hat, and just relax for the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. No, see, if we had a camera in here, I'd have to. Yeah, and we couldn't watch. You know, right now we're watching baseball. We'd have to try and behave, put Fox News on, and act mm-hmm. like we're actually paying attention. Which, you know, yeah. See, now we're giving away all our secrets.
Oh well,
I know.
That's all right.
It's okay.
Okay, I have a question to ask you. Okay,
I have an answer. Does that have to be the right one?
Well, as long as you're okay with it, as long as you're right.
Then, okay.
Okay, so from back in your days in the legislature,
right.
Did you ever have a session that finished as quickly as this one did?
No, this was a record. This was the record.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's and in part the reason, so by law, by statute, they have to finish in 90 days.
Okay.
Now that's, it depends on how you do it. In even years, it's 90 days by statute. In an off year, then like this is an off year. So they don't actually have to finish in 90 days. They can go long because this is usually the budget year. In an election year, they have to finish in 90 days, period. You cannot go over. So let's start there. What they chose to do here is they actually chose to call it 90 actual calendar days. So they counted Saturdays and Sundays.
Okay. All right.
Typically, when I was in the legislature, it was 90 actual working days. So Saturdays and Sundays, they didn't count those. In addition, we had what was called pro forma days, where like a Monday would or a Friday would be pro forma because there was no major work going on or of committee work. And that gives the revisers, which is the attorneys, or staff time to catch up. I think the biggest complaint that I heard from legislators was staff wasn't able to, the staff was getting really overworked this session.
Right.
And the revisers were getting really overworked. This is, I think, one of the other complaints that I think they heard was they were just really burdened because of the accelerated timeline. On the flip side, you know, the shorter they're in there, the less they can mess things up. Well, so, and it was efficient. It didn't cost as much because they're in, they're out, and they're done.
All joking aside, that's Absolutely true.
I mean, typical sessions, they get the early April, they end, and then they take the month of April off, and then it's at the end of April that they go back for the veto session, which could last a week, and then they do signee die in May. So that's a typical session.
I see.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. They've already done veto session and signee. They're done.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Yeah.
They won't be back until you ask me when they come back. They come back in January
of next year, of 2026.
They're done.
Wow.
And now part of that is because you've got some major key players that are likely to announce runs for office very soon.
Yes. Governor being the number one.
I would think you will see some major players in the legislature running for governor. Mm-hmm. There will be other major players in the legislature who've been on this show running for other statewide offices. I know who they are. I'm not going to say it. I'll let them make their announcements.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And when that happens, other things will fall. There's some significant announcements that are to come. Now, that may be a factor. I don't know. I don't think any of them said, we need to rush through session so I can run for office. But I do think a lot of it is they want to get in and out, be efficient, and, you know, see if they could do it. And they did. Now, whether this will be a permanent change or, you know, just something that they do this session, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There's pros and cons to it. Yeah. For sure.
That was a quick session.
But it was a very quick session. But they still got all their work done.
They got done what they wanted to
get done. To their credit. Mm-hmm. They got all their work done. They forced Laura Kelly to work on their timeline. So, you know, I credit them for getting a lot of work done and saving money, which is always a bonus. So, folks, thank you again. I hope you had a very happy Easter. And carry on, fellow deplorables.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.